4 months later. P-2. Mesut Demir Memorial Visitor Center, Dortlutepe, Turkey. Three men stood before a ceremonial red ribbon at the new Dortlutepe Visitor Center, named in honor of the man who fronted the site's initial dig team, while one alien held the scissors. Alongside Timo Fiori, Billy Kendrick, and ICA Chairman William Godfrey, Leisha smiled with pride at the honor which had been bestowed upon him as he cut the ribbon to warm applause from the gathered crowd. "The road has been rocky," Godfrey's strong and authoritative voice announced. "But together we overcame. We overcame challenges brought about by the discovery of this site, and as you all now know, the messengers overcame the discovery of a mysterious second gate in their planet's sky. We did it with their help, and they did it with ours, and I feel tremendously honored to serve as chairman of the International Contact Agency, which has facilitated and will continue to facilitate cooperation between our planets and peoples. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope all of you, and as many of the world's population as possible, enjoy this visitor center. And I'd like to remind everyone watching at home that virtual tours are available free of charge so you too can walk in the footsteps of our early ancestors and marvel at the carvings and artifacts they left behind. I give you the Mesut Demir Memorial Visitor Center." Further applause met Godfrey's words. By now, the entirety of Dortlutepe had been excavated by a Turkish-led international team of archaeologists. Interest in the pillars had remained steady in the 4 months since an architect walked on Earth, with people of all nationalities keen to see what early humans had recorded besides the initially revealed pillar, which only showed initial contact. Since recorded footage of Dan conversing with the terrifying-looking creature had been shown around the world so many times, that initial pillar was less impactful than it had been at first. Some of the remaining pillars, however, told other parts of an important story. While the second and third pillars to be excavated had featured carvings of animals and other relatively unspectacular things, the fourth told a more illuminating but unsettling story. With individual images on each side of the pillar combining into a story in the same manner as on the first pillar, the direction each faced relative to the sun serving as the clue as to which order they were to be observed in if any clue were needed, this pillar very clearly relayed the tragedy of the architect's initial contact with humans. The human in the carving was first connected to an architect and was then seen dead on the ground while the cable remained attached to his neck, even as the architect retreated towards its saucer-shaped craft. In the third carving, several other human figures were present. One tended to the fallen contactee, while the others threw spears at the alien and tried to prevent its departure. In the fourth, the alien was gone, and the humans, not unlike in some famous images of modern-day tribespeople gesturing furiously at unwelcome helicopters, threw rocks and waved their arms in anger. Dan, upon his own first viewing of this pillar's carvings a few hours before they'd gone public, had reached the same conclusions as the archaeologists. He had by then revealed in public interviews almost all of what he discussed with the architect, including its race's long-standing view of humanity as unpalatably aggressive. Leisha, for his part, had been responsible for sharing his understanding that Dan was the exception rather than rule in terms of having been able to converse with the architect. Like everyone else in New York had been overwhelmed by a sonic force the architect might not even have known it was emitting, and like the mother of sacrifice in an alternate timeline had been overwhelmed by a connection to the architect, the non-uplifted contactee in the carving had quite literally been unable to live with the power of its visitor's mind. The architects were technologically advanced, in a way Dan and Leisha didn't dare to assume their own species would ever match, but what was clear now was that their understanding of other races and what kinds of connections they could handle was far from perfect. Imperfect was the key word in Leisha's consideration of the architects, who he still resented for the great deception, but no longer furiously detested, just as imperfection had been the word in Dan McCarthy's mind when his earlier contact with the messengers had left him slightly disappointed that they weren't as all-knowing and all-powerful as he had once assumed. No other pillar matched the significance of that which retold the early human's death, a death by something like immediate mental exhaustion, as best anyone could tell, but some others showed excellent representations of a very familiar and very enormous mothership. The site at Dortolu Tepe was now open to the public, with a state-of-the-art visitor center named in honor of the archaeologist whose team unearthed the first pillar, and William Godfrey took care not to sully what was a happy event by mentioning the disgraced individuals who had thankfully been held to account for Massoud's death. In the greatest scandal of their, or any other generation, citizens of the world had seen the remarkable and rapid fall from grace of the Western world's two most powerful national leaders in Valerie Slater and John Cole, with the latter facing life behind bars along with Jan Geller in a fate already experienced by the equally deserving Jack Neal. There wasn't enough evidence to pin any serious crimes on Slater, and those closest to the matter had truly come to believe this was because she hadn't been anywhere near so closely involved as the two scoundrels she had so foolishly and desperately worked with, albeit for a short period, in an effort to ultimately position herself as Godfrey's successor when it had appeared as though he might never return from an initially unexplained abduction. Political overambition had destroyed many, but never as spectacularly as it destroyed Valerie Slater. Dan McCarthy and his inner circle certainly didn't hate Slater like they hated those more directly responsible for Phil and Massoud's deaths, but none shed any tears at her fall from grace. Her cooperation with legal proceedings, while transparently self-serving, might have played a slight role in this, but at the heart of it, she was less despised quite simply because she was less worthy of such scorn. Like there had been in the even more Machiavellian Richard Walker, there was some good in Slater that simply didn't exist in a Cole or a Geller or a Neal, and as such, there was a degree of regret that she had taken the route she had. On a symbolically important day, when Massoud was being honored in his home country, meanwhile, Phil Norris was set to be honored by his friends in Birchwood, while Leisha had also seen to it that the renowned city of New Birchwood, on his home planet, would play host to a ceremony of its own. After so many difficulties, to say the road navigated by the humans and messengers alike had been rocky was an understatement to end all others, as far as Leisha was concerned, a unified day of celebration was just what everyone needed. No one wanted to forget the past, and much of the festivities were very directly occurring in honor of those who had selflessly assured the rockiest of roads navigation. A balance had to be struck, however, as everyone realized, and the focus was very much on a new future. With concepts such as the past and the future in mind, all of those who stood at the ribbon and knew the full story had eternally vowed to keep to themselves the one secret they could never tell, for everyone else's benefit, about the time gate that took four brave explorers to the world of Sanctuary. In the course of many deep conversations with Dan McCarthy over the past few months, and because the architect who touched down in New York had directly likened the two technologies, William Godfrey had come to consider the architect's development of time-manipulating technologies as something like humanity's earlier scientific discoveries that led to the development of nuclear weapons. Some of the geniuses responsible for the latter had gone on to lament their work and to wish their genie could be put back into its bottle, and Godfrey was not alone in feeling glad that the time bottle had been cast into the ocean for good, tightly sealed and carried far beyond human hands by purifying waves. Attempting to fully understand what the architects had and hadn't achieved with their research and experimentation into time manipulation had humbled the minds of those humans close enough to the issue to know about it, but all of them were glad it ended there. Unlike the architects themselves, who had lost many lives in the course of their experiments, time hadn't humbled humanity as a whole. That bullet had been dodged, and tight lips would keep the ship afloat. Timo Fiori fought back tears when a Turkish journalist shook his hand and thanked him and Billy for coming out to honor Massoud. "He was a good man," the Italian said. "I wish he could have seen this day, to read the final pages of the story he discovered all those months ago, but I'm sure he's looking down with a smile on his face." "I am sure of it too," the man said. Billy, who had been on Sanctuary while Massoud was killed, chimed in with the final word. I knew Masood well, too, and he wouldn't want us to be sad today. He spent a good life pursuing what he loved, truth and human understanding, and he died a hero's death defending those same things. He deserved better, but he would be proud of what he achieved. And let me thank your country for its hospitality, because from the moment we identified some sites here, I felt at home, thanks to people like Masood. The journalist shook Billy's hand while Godfrey watched on, pleased by the words. At the same moment, Leisha sent a message to Godfrey via the patch that was no longer a secret, but which would never be mass-produced or reverse-engineered for as long as Leisha was keeping an eye on things.
I must attend to matters closer to home, the alien told him, purposefully speaking out loud in the soothing tones of his native language, but ensuring Godfrey could understand it telepathically. Enjoying his position as translator, which he considered befitting of an ICA chairman, Godfrey relayed that Leisha would be leaving soon. He would be back soon enough to assist discussions over a formal diplomatic structure being developed at the ICA, which would see a permanent human presence on New Kerguelen and a permanent messenger presence in Buenos Aires. An extensive international human crew had recently assisted in repairing damaged buildings in the alien city of New Birchwood, much as they had assisted in the repair of what was previously considered the messenger's great shelter, but which was now known by all on Earth to have been a cage created by the architects. Dan, Emma, and Godfrey, along with the others, had deemed it wise to get almost everything out into the open so people were under no illusions as to how the current situation on New Kerguelen had come about. For cooperation to thrive, true understanding was needed. And largely because of the obvious resentment people felt towards the architects for not only the destruction they had thoughtlessly, if not deliberately, brought upon New York, but also the cruelest of tricks they had played on the well-liked messengers, Godfrey had recently spoken of the architects as little as possible. The prospect of future engagement with the architects, which the visitor to New York had very much left in Dan's hands, was, to that end, very much a topic for another day. What was certain was that the future on and between Earth and New Kerguelen was cooperative and bright, like the flash that briefly filled the Turkish afternoon before leaving the scene one body lighter. And the smiles on every face as the teleportation occurred told a story of just how far things had come. To Leisha and Masood, Godfrey announced, raising a hand as though it held a glass. On cue, and like Smalls reacting to the words of their principal, everyone present replied in unison, To Leisha and Masood.